Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to our Q3 fiscal year 2018 presentation that corresponds to the April-June quarter. Before we start, let me draw your attention to our disclaimer on page two. Our CEO, Marco Stracke, will explain the period highlights and will make the closing remarks. Our CFO, Miguel Ángel López, will conduct the rest of the presentation. We will finish with a Q&A session. We will take your questions over the phone. With this, let me hand over to our CEO, Marco Stracke. Marco?
Thank you, Cristina, and thanks to all of you for joining us as we present our financial results for the third quarter and for the first three quarters of this fiscal year. In a moment, as just announced by Cristina, my colleague Miguel Ángel will provide a detailed analysis of our financial performance. First, let me share a few general comments on overall progress and performance. Overall, our financial performance this past quarter and for the first three quarters of the fiscal year have been solid and been fully in line with our guidance. Especially our commercial activity was strong, reflecting our focus on our core business and the trust of our customers. I'm also encouraged by our financial performance, as the past months have, in many ways, been challenging. We are now starting to see the benefits of our merger and the progress of the LEAD 2020 program. Our order backlog has reached to more than 23 billion euros in quarter three, up 14% year-over-year. This is a record for our young, newly merged company, and it demonstrates the confidence of our customers they have in us, our people, and our technology. Order entry for the past 12 months reached 12 billion euros. This is an increase of 15% on year-over-year. This strong order entry has been driven by growth in both onshore and offshore and leads to 100% coverage of our average revenue guidance for the year. One project I want to specifically mention in this context, the award of Hornsea 2 off the British coast, a record-breaking wind farm with a combined rating of more than 1.3 gigawatts. We are proud to be part of this project. Revenue for the first nine months of this fiscal year stood at more than 6.5 billion euros, and for quarter three, more than 2.1 billion euros impacted by lower sales volumes and pricing. Our EBIT pre-PPA and INR cost stood at 478 million euros, equivalent to a margin of 7.4% for the first three quarters of the fiscal year and 7.3% for quarter three. Especially strong service margin helped us to compensate turbine margin decline during this past quarter. Net income continues to recover, reaching 45 million euros for the first three quarters of the year and 44 million euros in quarter three. Net debt of 154 million euros as of June 2018 was impacted by working capital seasonality due to our project execution. A 2.5 billion euro multi-currency term and revolving credit facility was closed successfully in May. Our LEAD 2020 program sets our strategy for the future with clear goals and cost reduction targets. Launched in February, the program is now fully operational and gaining traction across the four key modules: growth, transformation, digitalization, and change management. Especially the transformation module, including a cost reduction target of 2.2 billion euros, is an essential driver for the success of our company and helps to partially offset price declines. We are constantly striving for optimization in this area and will further accelerate the process and achieve the program's targets. Overall, I believe the quarter three results give us confidence that the decision we have been making are the right ones, and that the strategic plan we have in place has set us on the right course. We are maintaining our strong relationship with our customers worldwide. We are succeeding in our efforts to establish ourselves in new markets, and we are on track to capture the benefits made possible by our merger. A big thank you to our entire strong team. Now, Miguel, over to you.
Thank you, Markus, and good morning to all of you. So our group backlog is reaching a new peak with 23.2 billion, and the positive growth can be seen in all the business units. We have been seeing a very positive trend in the last four quarters. In the last four quarters, consistent growth in our group order backlog. And of course, this performance in order backlog influences strongly our future revenues. This order backlog is now providing 100% coverage of our midpoint guidance, and this creates an increasing visibility of future revenues. Our backlog for the 2019 plus revenues is now about 3 billion higher than last quarter. In quarter two, it has been 17.4, and now it's 20.5. Our service order backlog has increased in 400 million, and the WTG order backlog in 2.6 billion. We continue to operate with a very positive book-to-bill ratio, above one in quarter 3/18. The commercial activity continues to meet our expectations. The business plan targets with an order intake of 3.3 billion. That means 2.4 times last year's value and up 80% quarter over quarter, representing a book-to-bill ratio of 1.5. As stated already by Markus, we have signed 12 billion in new orders, or 1.4 times the revenue of the same period, due to the competitive positioning of our group. And the business mix helps us compensating part of this market-driven volatility. For quarter three, offshore is the main contributor to our group order intake. It's 46% of the total orders, and of course with the largest order ever in offshore with Hornsea 2. Onshore has contributed 36%, but when looking to the last 12 months, onshore contributed 51%, which is in line with the 2017 overall contribution to the group top line. Service with a higher profitability has also delivered a strong performance with 2.3 billion in new contracts in the LTM, which is nearly two times the cumulative service revenue in that same period. The onshore order intake has been 1.7 gigawatt with a stable average selling price quarter over quarter. The onshore order intake volumes were impacted by delay of some large orders. One example has been last week's order in Sweden with 232 megawatt. And the slowdown in our commercial activity in APEC, especially in India, that we expect to come back in coming quarters. Solid performance when looking to longer period to compensate the quarterly volatility. In the last 12 months, the order intake with 8.5 gigawatts in firm orders has been 37% more than the LTM order intake at June 17, and 13% more than the same figure at March 18. If we look to the geographies, the main contributors to quarter 3/18 order intake measured in megawatt have been Brazil with 30%, Spain 19%, South Africa 15%, and US and Ireland both with 14%. So we have seen a recovery of three important markets: Brazil, South Africa, and Spain. And with these orders, we maintain our strong positioning in all these three countries. We have been using the newest and more efficient turbine, the SG3.432. We will see during the second half of the calendar year 2018 renewable auctions that are planned in Brazil and South Africa. In Brazil, there will be an A6 auction of wind projects taking part and competing, of course, with hydro, gas, and biomass. In South Africa, the government is considering a fifth round with a total renewable volume of 1.8 gigawatts, of which wind could represent 1 gigawatt. With this, the merger rationale is confirmed. Despite some of the market disruptions, there is volume potential, and we are well positioned to capture it. The average ASP has been about 0.73. Again, a quarter with no steep price decline. Of course, we need to monitor closely before we can really speak about a trend of stabilization around the 0.7. And year over year, a strong decline took place due to the pricing mix and, of course, negatively impacted also by FX. But this one is on a single-digit basis. As mentioned before, we did see an intense offshore activity in quarter three, very strong performance. Again, confirmation of Hornsea 2, the largest offshore wind farm to date, as mentioned before, and the signature of Formosa 1, Phase 2 in Taiwan, a market that is very relevant to us and has a high future potential for offshore. With this offshore strong performance, we have an increased visibility on revenues in 2020 plus, as we can see in the bottom chart. And now let's move to the key figures. And of course, I will not go into every number on the left-hand side, just making a few general remarks. The top line in Q3 is impacted by lower WTG pricing and lower volumes in onshore. Last quarter, we already discussed that the pricing of the order intake would start to feed through the P&L in half year 2018. Lower volume of offshore activity is impacted by a very high quarter 3/17 performance. The offshore activity in Q3 18 is fully in line with our expectations for the year, and the good visibility in our offshore activity for 18, 19, and even 2020 is given. Obviously, we need to execute our backlog, and in that regard, offshore is always more exposed to weather-related factors than onshore, and weather has been very good this year. The profitability is impacted mainly by lower WTG pricing, but to a large extent, this is compensated by the business mix. We have seen a very strong service performance, and of course, we have seen also the impact of the implementation of our cost-out program. At net income level, we have a 13 million net financial expense and a positive impact from tax credits in the amount of 8 million coming from a regularization of tax position in the U.S. Following the one-off charge we had in Q1 18, as we informed back then. The impact of PPA and INR cost after taxes amounts to 76 million in quarter three. Let's look to the revenue now. In the WTG space, we have seen that volume and pricing are impacting our top-line evolution. The pricing impact in WTG on and volume in off year-over-year comparison. We should see an improvement of volumes both in on and off next quarter, but we will continue to see negative impact from pricing. The service returned to top-line growth after a first half fiscal 18 with revenue decline, largely on the back of the volatility of spare parts and value-added solutions revenues. Q3 service is growing nearly 3% year-over-year, with fleet under maintenance growing nearly 6% driven by the offshore fleet. The total fleet under maintenance reached 56.7 gigawatt, and we have 1 gigawatt more than last year in onshore and 2 gigawatt more than last year in offshore. In our fleet under maintenance, we already have 2.6 gigawatts of third-party technology, and this is 2 gigawatt more than at the end of quarter three, which is clearly a pillar for growth, as presented in the CMD. In Q3, we have seen improvement in spare parts revenues when compared to quarter two. Value-added solutions continue to contribute little, and we expect an increase in the coming quarters. The on-sales volume returns to growth in quarter 3, 18, in line with the expectations of a stronger half year 2, 14% growth year over year, and 22% growth quarter over quarter. EMEA is here the largest contributor to sales volume recovery, 232 megawatts in additional sales year over year, 44% of the total megawatts sold in the quarter, and a very diversified sales mix. Besides South Africa, with 20% of EMEA, Turkey, France, Spain, and Italy are the main countries by sales volume in quarter 3/18. By country, together with South Africa, the largest sales volumes were executed in the US, 22% of quarter 3 sales volume, India 8%, and Thailand 7%. Installation activity was subdued. Less than 1 gigawatt was installed during quarter 3. The lower installation activity, together with low pricing, FX and mix, have impacted negatively the on-revenue ASP. While installation activity will recover in quarter 4, we expect to see similar negative impact from pricing as the order backlog is converted into sales. We expect further volume recovery of onshore in Q4, well balanced among the three regions, and an improvement on installation activity. Now let's take a closer look to the EBIT margin pre-PPA INR in detail. Clearly, the margin evolution, 7.4% in the 9 months of fiscal 18 and 7.3% in quarter 3/18, is in line with our fiscal year 18 guidance, as you know, being between 7-8%. But what is more important here probably is to highlight the strength of our service operations. Q2 service margins had a one-off positive impact that explains the strength of the margin performance. This quarter, all is organic, and we see that service delivered a 22.8 margin. This strong performance is due to a very efficient operation that can create value for customers in quite a competitive environment. In the 9 months, service contributed 40% of the total EBIT of our group. If we now exclude the one-off impact from last quarter, the service margin during 9 months, 18, stood at 20%, very much in line with our objective for the year and for the business plan 18-20. Lower pricing, volume, mix, and scope in on main drivers of EBIT decline. As expected and communicated in the quarter two, the new WTG on price levels started to feed through the P&L during the second half of the year, shown in the EBIT bridge. Sales volume impact has given way to pricing in Q3 as driver of lower profitability year over year. Our transformation module as part of LEAD 2020 program, as mentioned by Marcos already, is working and is compensating the pricing impact. This is what we explained back in February when we presented the LEAD 2020 transformation module. Our 2 billion cost out is a must that we need to execute to compensate the pricing pressure we see. We will give an update of LEAD 2020, including the transformation module, when we present our fiscal year 18 results. The year-over-year decrease, and I talked already about that one, in off WTG volume largely is driven by the abnormally high WTG off activity we had in quarter 3/17. That gives way to a much more normal level this year. Our balance sheet and our financing lines remain sound. Our net debt level in quarter three is at 154 million, largely on the back of a working capital of 265 million. We will have a deep dive on working capital on the next slide. A big achievement, though, is our new syndicated loan, with which we were able to consolidate our financing lines. A 2 billion multi-currency revolving facility maturing in 2023 with 2 one-year extension options and a 500 million credit facility maturing in 2021. The working capital is in line with the fiscal year 18 guidance, with 265 million in quarter three. This equals a ratio to LTM sales of 3% within our guidance range. It was impacted by the project seasonality, not only in offshore but also in onshore. We have a higher concentration of billing milestones in quarter four, which should have a positive impact in cash generation. Of course, we continue to work hard on the optimization of our inventories, trade receivables, payables, and our contract assets and liabilities. I've set up an asset management initiative, and measures are in place, and we expect to see an improvement in the next quarters. We continue to have a stringent control over the planned and actual spending. The capital expenditure during the first 9 months amounted to 258 million, with 92 million invested in quarter three, mainly in plate molds and in tooling. I personally closely monitor and control capital expenditures to make sure that we are in line with our guidance. The annual reduction is supported, of course, by the larger capital intensity of 2017. We were speaking about that, specifically Cuxhaven and Morocco. We will also step up investment in quarter four to reach a total capital in line with our guidance. Probably we are a bit below the guidance of 500 million, but we will be in line with our business plan guidance of less than 5% of revenues. So with this, we are very much in line after 9 months with our CMD investment targets. We are committed to sustainable turnaround and cash development, seeing 94 million in gross operating cash flow in quarter three, 93 million if we include the working capital cash variation. This has been used to pay for our investments. Edwin-related payments have consumed 43 million in quarter three, so overall, CapEx and Edwin explain the slight increase in our group net debt position from 112 million in quarter 2018. As I have said in our previous slide, we are fully committed to cash generation, and we expect to get back onto a net cash position in quarter 4, 18. Our 9-month fiscal year 18 performance is fully in line with our fiscal year 18 guidance. All in all, we are operating in very competitive markets. In a market in transition to full competition among all sources of electricity, this requires us, the wind OEMs, to deliver increasing efficiencies in a very short time frame to compensate for the pricing pressure we experience. In this environment, we are able to say our Q3 18 and 9 months 18 performance are fully in line with our commitments. First, our backlog already covers the average of our sales guidance. Second, our profitability is also in the middle of the range. And now we have in Q4 a high activity level in front of us that we will execute as we have executed the previous 9 months. And we are very confident to do so. Additional headwinds, largely coming from a new trade policy that have an impact on our global supply chain and steel price, the main raw material that we use in the WTG and in one of our main WTG on markets, the US, we monitor, of course, closely and are looking at ways to minimize the impact. The transformation module of our LEAD 2020 program is working well, and we continue to expect a positive impact. And as mentioned before, we will give more detail in our fiscal year 18 results presentation. The PPA impact on amortization of intangibles was 239 million in the 9 months and 82 in quarter three, and we continue to expect around 320 for the year. Integration and restructuring cost amounted to 100 million in the 9 months, 25 million in quarter three, and we continue to expect around 160 in the year. And with this, I hand over again to Markus.
Thank you, Michelangelo. You had made it very clear that we had a solid quarter in line with our guidance. So let me wrap it up. and focus on three items. First, we have made an important progress with our LEAD 2020 program, and we are seeing tangible results. The LEAD 2020 cost reduction initiative of 2 billion euros has been and will be an essential driver for our success. Therefore, my team and I will ensure at all times and by all means that our forces are combined to achieve this target. In this context, I can assure you that we are continuously striving for optimization and will make adjustments where needed. Second, our commercial activity this past quarter was strong. We have an order backlog of 23.2 billion euros, up 14% year over year at a new record level. Order entry over the last 12 months stood at 12 billion euros, up 15% year over year, mainly driven by our onshore and offshore businesses. And third, our financial performance was in line with our guidance. The midpoint of our revenue guidance is now fully covered. Our EBIT margin, pre-PPA and INR cost, stood at 7.4% during the first 9 months of the fiscal year and at 7.3% in quarter three. And a 2.3 billion euro multi-currency term and revolving credit facility was closed successfully in May. So let me look ahead. The sector outlook remains strong. This goes especially for the offshore market, which gained significant traction in new markets, including Taiwan, France, and the U.S. At the same time, we are aware of increasing geopolitical risks and potential short-term implications from increasing trade tariffs. This is an issue we are closely monitoring. So concluding on this, I would like to thank you for your attention and open the floor for questions. Thank you a lot.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We kindly request that you limit your questions to one per turn. Please be informed that in order to assure audio quality, we recommend that all questions be asked from landlines. Thank you. The first question is from the line of Akash Gupta from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good morning, everyone. My question is on onshore ASP, where you have saying that it's stable, while if we look at the numbers sequentially, we are down to 0.70 from 0.74, which suggests mid-single-digit decline. So basically, when you say it's stable, do you mean it's unstable in terms of underlying margins that you have given the mix that we have in Q3 versus Q2? Or when you say it's stable, the base is Q4 where you had 0.69 ASP, which was almost in line with what we had in Q3?
Thank you, Akash, for the question. Certainly looking at the ASPs in onshore, we see stable as coming back to the normal environment that we have seen before the sharp drop of ASPs in the last 18 months or so. You see certainly a decline, as you mentioned, quarter over quarter in ASP. At the same time, you need to look at the ASPs for the full year. So I would describe stability in a way that we come back to normal adjustments of the ASP in the low single-digit range as we had seen it in the market before the sharp drop of ASPs I just mentioned. So in that regard, I see it as a confirmation of the assumptions we have discussed before and disclosed in the Capital Market Day. There was always a competitive environment. There was a step change in the market, and now we come back to an environment as we had seen it before the step change.
Next question.
The next question is from the line of Mark from Siemens. Please go ahead.
Hello, it's Mark Freshney actually from Credit Suisse. Just a question on some of the input costs in light of both higher energy and steel prices and also in light of higher tariffs or tariffs. What are you actually seeing, and is there a margin headwind going into next year? Thank you.
Thanks for the question. Certainly, as said by Michelangelo, we are closely monitoring the development on tariffs and commodity prices. As has been stated, the impact on 18 is non-material, as we have covered by our hedges and our supplier contracts. For 19, we are closely monitoring the impact on our business, especially here in the U.S., which is the most impacted by that one. We are continuously working on an optimization of our supply chain, trying to find solutions to minimize the impact. If you look at the impact of the last tariffs, taking all three lists in consideration, which is a scenario we are looking at, which has not been decided and still to be seen what is to be decided. So it's a quite a dynamic development right now. Currently, only list one has been implemented. We see, depending on product and supply chain, an impact on our cost between 2 to 4%. That doesn't mean that this impact might have an will fully fall through to the margins, as we are, as I said, actively working and optimizing our supply chains. And this is, as I said, an industry topic. And it is, to the most extent, an impact we see out of the U.S. So putting this all together, yes, there is an impact. We're closely monitoring. We're working on solutions to mitigate the impact out of it. And we are making progress in that regard, preparing for 19.
Thank you, Markus. Next question.
The next question is from the line of Alok from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Hi, Alok Katre from SocGen. Thanks for taking my question. Just one quick clarification first, if I may. Did you mention 2 to 4%? Is that just the U.S. or is that really across the group? If you could clarify that. And then just really the question was on the same topic again, is if you could just provide us a framework on how we should think about the whole impact of the tariffs in the context of what you're seeing on the pricing, the supply chain capabilities, and also the fall in prices of other metals such as copper, etc. Thanks.
Just to confirm, thanks again for the question. Just to confirm and clarify, it is an impact on the U.S. As stated, and it depends also on product, and as you hint in your second part of the question, depends on the product and the respective supply chain on the product. With our U.S. operations, we are fully developed with our supply chain in the U.S. We have factories installed in the U.S. for ourselves as plates. We have suppliers lined up with U.S. content. That is how we work around those tariffs in order to optimize our business. And, of course, having said, the difference in impact depends significantly on product chosen. So also using our product portfolio in a respective way is used to minimize the overall impact on our business.
Thank you, Markus. Next question.
The next question is from the line of Sean McLaughlin from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have one question on synergies. Could you just explain a little bit about how much you were able to concretely achieve in synergies and how this is ramping through the next quarters?
Yeah, thank you very much. The information that we were given that we would see around 1.5% of revenues in synergies kicking in to the P&L in fiscal year 18 is getting into reality. So we see that we are in track. on track in this one, and so we can confirm that this will happen. And of course, we'll continue as mentioned in the CMD for the next years as well. So everything is in line with the expectations that we have been given.
Thank you, Miguel. Next question
is from the line of Philippe Laurent from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Philippe Laurent from Berenberg. One question here: with the steel price trends that we see in the market, shouldn't we expect actually your ASP to grow rather than continue to contract slightly, especially on a year-on-year basis? So that's the question, basically.
Well, that's a wonderful question. We are operating in very competitive markets, and the fact that wind OEMs will always try to get this cost increases twofold: one, minimized, but second, also passed through the customer, will be there. I mean, the reality will tell us what will happen, but the likelihood that we can pass through this effects into prices, I would consider this one rather low.
Thank you, Miguel. Next question.
The next question is from the line of Michael, calling in from Redburn. Michael, please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks for taking my question. I might have misheard you, but I think you said on the call that you still aim to get back to net cash by the end of the year. If that's right, is that an ambition or is that your actual expectation? Just because I think you're also saying that you'll reach the end of the year somewhere around the 500 million CapEx guidance, and it seems hard to square that with also getting back to net cash. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. It's a clear expectation. And we have the proper levers in place to make that happen.
Thank you, Miguel. Next question
is from the line of Pinaki Das from Bank of America. Pinaki, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. I had a question on delivered ASP. So I can see from your numbers that if I just take the megawatt equivalent and the onshore revenues last year, this period, Q3 17 was 0.92, but this year, in the just quarter gone by, it's 0.62. So it's almost a 33% decline in the delivered ASP. So I just wanted to understand what's driving that. And also, considering your order ASP of 0.7, is Q3 18 the low point in terms of delivered ASP, and therefore you're already making the 7% margin on that 0.62 ASP?
The ASP and the revenue needs to also be looked in the context of a number of elements that contribute that. It has been mentioned by Rangel before. They had a low installation in quarter three in terms of activity. That has an impact. We see impacts out of FX, and we see impacts certainly out of scope, depending on region, what scope is included, not included. All those have an impact on the ASP and installations. Plus, of course, what we discussed, the pricing impact we have seen and discussed earlier. So having a consistent view on the ASPs, you need to take those various elements in consideration to come to a conclusion.
Thank you, Markus. Next question
is from the line of Mark, calling from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hi, yes. Can I please ask on the offshore market, I mean, it seems you've made significant headway in Taiwan. From what's been made public, you seem to be the leader in that market. Clearly, Europe, you've split the market with MHI Vestas. Can I please ask, how do you see versus your expectations of 6 months ago versus what you know now, how big do you see that market for yourself in 2 to 3 years' time?
Thanks for the question. Yes, we are following a clear plan with regard to so-called emerging markets for offshore. We have been the ones installed the first prototypes in that market. We were able to book the first commercial project in the market in this quarter. You've seen that in our numbers, Formosa extension. That is certainly giving us the lead in the market based on a solid strategy, and you've seen that we have been reaching exclusivity agreement in the next project. So we are certainly following a consistent and well thought through strategy in that one. Looking at the volume of the market, I expect overall in the years to come a total market of around about 5 gigawatts to come. Also seeing the other political decisions on the energy mix in the political debate, this is Taiwan will be a market that will start strong and will continue to be strong. So I see this certainly as an achievement for our company to position us very well in a strong starting position for that market.
Thank you, Marcus. Next question
is from the line of Alok from Societe Generale. Please go ahead, Alok.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for taking my question again. Just to clarify a little bit on your comments, you mentioned that the likelihood of passing price increases because of steel tariffs through to customers are a bit low. I was a bit surprised as well, because I think some of your competitors seem to be saying that they do see the scope to pass on prices, especially in the US, because the IRRs for developers are so good still with the PTC. So I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on that, and don't you have escalation clauses with customers as well? Thanks.
Well, I would like to reiterate what I did say before. So the likelihood that we see to really pass this on to customers is rather low. And when looking to the fact that you see in the order intake ASPs, that is giving us for sure some important data points to finally evaluate whether and in which way this has been possible or not. But I repeat myself, the expectation that we will not be very successful in passing this cost increases on to customers in the US.
Thank you, Miguel. Next question, please.
Is from the line of Akash Gupta from JP Morgan. Please go ahead, Akash.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the follow-up. I have a question on margin. This year you have a guidance with midpoint of 7.5%. For 2020, you want to be at the high end of 8 to 10% range. The question I have is that if you look at on 2019, where you have almost full visibility in service business, full visibility in offshore business, and visibility in onshore is increasing, how do you expect, how should we expect 2019 margins, like should we expect 2019 should likely be midpoint of what we have for 2020, or there will be more margin improvement in 2020 because some of this bill of material savings will be more back-end loaded than front-end loaded? Like, how should we think about 2019 margins at this point of time? I'm asking because the consensus right now is at midpoint, which is 8.6%. for next year. So like if we just draw a line from here to 2020, then we get to midpoint of 8.6% where consensus is right now.
Thank you, Akash, for the question. So it is quite clear that for us the goal 2020 is intact and we will go for it. For the time being, we will not make statements on 19 yet. We will do so as soon as we are moving closer to the fiscal year end, and then update you on LEAD 2020, on the expectation for 2020, certainly the same that we communicated in the CMD, and then, of course, update you on the guidance for the fiscal year 19. So for the time being, we need to make the next or this actual quarter, and then we will update you on, again, LEAD 2020 and also the guidance for 19.
Thank you, Miguel. Next question.
It's from the line of Fernando from Alantra Madrid. Fernando, please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning to everyone. I have three quick questions. The first one is a follow-up on prices. I think you said, Marcus, that the price of permeable soil in onshore in Q3 was affected by several factors. I was wondering if you could give us, as it happened in Q1, kind of a like-for-like indication of what would have been the fall in prices this quarter versus probably last year, or what should be a normalized average for this one. My second question is on Q4. It's good to see that you are kind of reiterating or securing the midpoint of the guidance in terms of revenues. However, it implies kind of around 2.8 billion euros of revenues for Q4. I was wondering if you could give us an indication of the mix for onshore that we should expect in Q4. Should we expect a recovery in prices to compensate the lower deliveries or in Q3, or should we expect same prices and a big jump in the volumes sold? And the last one,
Fernando?
I'm not asking for a specific figure, but just the expected trend. Thank you.
Fernando, the third part of your question was somehow lost in communication. I got the topic on pricing, on revenue, quarter four, and could you please repeat the third part of your question? I don't know what happened.
No, the last question was, Marcus, on the volume trends for 2019. If you could give us an indication of what should we expect in terms of volumes onshore, I'm talking about by region.
Fernando, thanks for the question. Let's see if I can go through that. In terms of pricing, I can only reiterate what I said before. We see the pricing in the market coming back to normal, meaning we have seen low single-digit price declines in the market before the changes in the market. We see that coming back. That is, in my view, substantiated by the four quarters we've shown you ASPs for onshore, giving an insight. You also need to be careful, and I said that also before, that those ASPs are certainly impacted by scope, FX, and a number of elements that need to be taken in consideration. As, for instance, in quarter two, we had a significant project in Australia, which we had combined with the storage solution, which is additional scope, meaning also revenue per megawatt, having a higher ASP in the consequence. So taking those in consideration, I see certainly stabilizing back to normal developments in the market, price developments. In terms of revenue and the outlook on quarter four, you see from our documentation that quarter four will be a strong quarter in terms of revenue. Revenue carries the margin, so that will be then also contribute to the margin going forward. So having 100% backlog coverage for quarter four, having a good view on the margins in that backlog, we now certainly need to execute. We will see higher installations in quarter four compared to quarter three, and this all will contribute to statements we have made in terms of guidance going forward. So, okay, then let me go to the third question on how we see volume in 19. You have seen that we have been very successful in creating volume for the company. I reiterate the 12 billion last 12 months number. Looking forward, considering that offshore is a more long-term business, so the execution times in offshore are significantly longer compared to onshore, those volume increases we have seen will be reflected in volume increases in onshore, specifically in onshore going forward. So you're going to see higher revenues and stronger volumes in onshore going forward to 19.
Thank you, Marcus. Next question
is from the line of Charles calling in from Egerton. Charles, please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good morning. I just had a question. You've been very clear on trends stabilizing in onshore in the quarter, irrespective of the fall sequentially. Can you talk about what prices were like in offshore in the quarter and what kind of pricing pressure, if any, you're seeing in the offshore segment at the moment?
The pricing trends certainly are mirrored to some extent, of course, with different systematics, but the pricing trends are certainly seen in the offshore market. You've seen offshore PPA prices going down for projects to go online beyond 2020. In offshore, we have the more comfortable position that we have time to work on our technology and to work on our cost position in order to compensate that. So it gives us more time in the business. As has been shown in the document, the offshore volumes to the largest extent are locked in till 2020, with actually revenue already showing, backlog showing revenue beyond 2020, as indicated in the document. To summarize, yes, in offshore also there is a very competitive environment. We have a strong technology position, as you've seen from the recent awards. And we were constantly working, as in all our business, through the LEAD 2020 program on our cost reduction programs. The difference is that there is more time to prepare and work on solutions dealing in that market environment. So I'm quite confident that the good development on offshore we've seen this year, we will also see going forward.
Thank you, Marcus. Next question, please.
It's from the line of Sean calling in from HSBC. Sean, please go ahead. Sean McLaughlin, your line is unmuted. Please ask your question.
I'm sorry, I've unmuted. A question on India. It was a big component of your weak profitability in the second half last year. We've seen auctions coming back. I see there's very little order intake in the third quarter. Can you just give us an update of how the Indian market is developing, your expectations for your order intake over the next 6 to 12 months, and also how the competitive environment under the auction system is holding? Do you expect to hold your previous share of the Indian market as we go forward?
Looking at India after the freeze of the market, how the market is recovering, there had been auctions of 6.5 gigawatts so far in India completed. There's more auctions going forward. So the market auction-wise is solid and going forward. We are maintaining our position to be at among top three players in India, also in terms of order entry so far in that revival of the market. Certainly the pricing of the market, looking at the PPAs out of the recent auctions, I see that somewhat bottoming out. We're still waiting to some increase towards higher rupee per kilowatt hour. The last auctions have been at 2.55, which is a little bit up, but I still see room for some development there. So overall, the market is intact. There had been a question about the market in the last auction, which was undersubscribed. I see this as a very temporary topic. It had to do with security on substation availability. The topic has been solved in the meantime within a couple of weeks. So overall, I continue to see us well positioned in a market that will see volumes between 4 to 6 gigawatt going forward with an upward trend. We are well positioned in that market with our existing supply chain, and we have recently introduced our new SG122 in order to balance the lower PPA prices in the market with technology going forward. So I see that certainly as an attractive market. In addition, there is a discussion on offshore in India. We are well positioned also for that. We are a fully established player in that market, so we can use our existing footprint to support that. There's an expected market of around 5 gigawatt announced by 2020 and around 30 gigawatt by 2030. This still will take some time to come, as the timing is unclear. However, first tender is out. So overall, India is an important and a market of significant relevance for us, and I see us well positioned in that market.
Thank you, Marcus. Next question, please.
Is from the line of Akash from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have a question on offshore where basically if I look at your order ASP, it was 1.12 in the quarter. And if you look at last four quarters, then it has been around at similar level in three out of four quarters. And this is significantly below what you're delivering in sales. The question I have is that obviously you have guided that, say, offshore ASP will come down and you have time to mitigate the impact. So you don't expect any impact on margins. But can we say that because of this ASP decline, potential upside on offshore margin in on 3-4 years view could be could not be there because on one side you have volumes going up, but on the other side pricing is down and net flat? Or do you think you can still grow margins on a 3-5 years view in offshore business?
Thank you, Akash. I mean, let me make a comment on offshore ASPs. That is a number that needs to be taken with a significant care, as the ASP numbers in offshore are highly dependent on various scope elements you have beyond the turbine as such. So you know we are executing a project, Jose, where we have used extended scope, which gives a high ASP, but is not giving any indication on margin. There are elements of installation logistics provided or installation logistics provided by the customer. So there's significant scope elements with significant material impact on volume without giving an indication on actually the pricing, the actual pricing per megawatt, if you would look at this on a turbine by turbine basis. Having said that, take ASPs for offshore with caution. At the same time, I reiterate that I'm quite confident that we see the good performance of the offshore business going forward, also for the years to come.
Okay, we are going to take two more questions, and then we will conclude the call. Next question, please.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Telis from The Analyst in London. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my question. Can you please give us some color on the services, like what sort of visibility you have in the services segment and some color on margins and margin trends? Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you for the question. Service, we have been indicating that it will be around the 20s, and this is exactly where we are right now. As mentioned during the presentation, we are a bit above right now because specifically of the one-time positive impact that we had in quarter two. Our expectation for service business going forward is that we will be at this 20% level also in the next years, and that's exactly in line with what we say in the Capital Market Day in February.
Thank you, Miguel. And now we are going to take the last question.
The last question is from the line of Philippe Laurent from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my follow-up question. I see that you're planning basically a big step up in CapEx in Q4 to reach your guidance of 500 million that has been spent. So is there like a special step up in R&D, or is it more like on the fixed asset space?
Thank you for the question. The activity around CapEx in quarter four is mainly on the industrial side because of the preparation of turbine and molds related also new products and preparing the capacity for the volumes that will come in the next years.
Thank you, Miguel. With this, we conclude our presentation. Thank you for joining us. And if you have any further questions or you need any clarification, please do contact the IR department. Thank you.